Are you tired of spending your time and money chasing strategy after strategy only to discover what worked 10, 5, or even 2 years ago is not working now? Things shift fast in the online space, and if you're not keeping up, you're getting left behind. It's time for something different. Welcome to the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast, where every single episode will be jam-packed with proven, profitable strategies, behind-the-scenes secrets, and what's working now resources from industry experts and global influencers to help you scale your business, shorten your learning curve, and stand out in a crowded, noisy marketplace. And now, your host, award-winning marketing and media strategist and international speaker, Patty Farmer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Marketing, Media, Money Podcast. I'm your host, Patty Farmer, and I'm looking forward to sharing today's industry expert with you. And today we're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects. We're going to talk about podcasting. More specifically, we're going to talk about podcast guesting. So for all of you out there that are listening, I know you've been on at least one podcast, or maybe you've been thinking about doing it and just haven't taken that first step yet. Either way, after this show, we're going to answer a lot of questions. You're going to feel way more confident and ready, even going to talk to you about how to be more creative in your podcast outreach, how to build your authority, and how to be a good podcast guest. So let me jump right in and tell you a little bit about our guest today, who is here from Cyprus, Europe. So we're going to just dive right into that. So Noemi Barris is the co-owner of Podcast Connections. She helps entrepreneurs and business owners share their knowledge and connect them to quality podcast shows. In addition, Noemi is dedicated to helping experts grow their business with interviews. So I'm so excited to have you with me today, Noemi. It has been a while that we have discussed it, and we're finally making it happen. And I'm so excited to have you here with me today.
Thank you so much for having me on your show today, Patty. It's an honor to be here.
I really love it too, because you have referred people to me that you think would make great guests for the show. One or two of them are actually some of my favorite episodes. And what I really love about when you refer people to me, some people could say pitch, whatever the word is, I'm okay with being pitched, right? Is that you actually took the time to ask me what I was looking for, right? What was my demographic? What did I want in a guest? So you just weren't pitching people to me that really weren't the right fit for my audience. So I really love that you took that extra time with it. And then I also loved knowing that not only was the actual guest going to be promoting the podcast, but actually your company was going to as well, which was really, really nice. So I have to say that's kind of an extra little something, something that I think that you bring to the table. And while there are people who want to do it themselves, there are people who want to do it with somebody, and then there are people who want to have somebody else do it for them, right? I think that at the end of the show today, we'll get some of your questions answered, and maybe people will be able to make a little bit more informed decision on what is right for them. Because as we know, time is money, and there are times in your business where you are scaling. Sometimes you're in the hustle still, and sometimes you have more time, and sometimes you have more money, and you can make the decision for you. But either way, we're going to kind of dive deep today into podcast guesting. So let's just jump right in. So the first question I really want to ask you is something that I think is really kind of important, because I think that we all hear stories, myths, as I like to say, of things about podcast guesting and pretty much anything else too, that we hear all the time that just aren't true, that just are not true. And so what I want to say is, what is a myth about podcast guesting that you can just share with my audience right now to say, nope, that's not true. Let's just get it out of the way. That's just not true.
I love this question, Patty. Yeah. I mean, many people think that being a guest in a podcast will bring them immediate results. And I don't know, they believed in that 100%, but that's actually not true, because you have to do a couple of podcasts, like 10, 20, 15, you know, 30, to get those results. And we started to work with people, and they just, after 2-3 interviews, they thought they're going to be famous. They only want to be on the Tony Robbins and Amy Porter Field Show, and they're going to have like clients from every single interview they were on. But this is a myth. It's not true. I mean, you have to do the smaller gigs to get on the bigger shows, and you have to go through all these, you know, small steps to reach bigger shows. But you need the practice, you need the experience, and it's just a myth that you're going to be famous like after like 3 podcast interviews. That's not true.
You know, I think that's really funny because I was just talking to one of my collaboration partners the other day, and he said something to me that I thought was so funny. He just started podcast guesting and he hired someone to train his VA to do it. So he didn't know anything about it, never been on a podcast before. She had never done it before either, but he just sent her to this thing to learn how to do it. And she got him booked on like 12 interviews. And I have to say, 2 of them were with some pretty good names. He literally said to me, I was on this podcast of this bigger name, and it's been 3 days and I haven't had anybody reach out to me. And I was like, really? Like, I do think that people actually think. First of all, they just have to realize that not everybody watches that or listens to the podcast like the day it comes out. It's not like there's this like rush of cattle like to go listen to that because they came out with one. And 2, the more established podcast hosts, literally your podcast might not come out for months. I mean, like there's literally sometimes 60 to 90 day lag when people come on my podcast before they go live. So I think there's a lot of different things about that. But since we are talking about that, what would you say is the value in podcast guesting on new shows versus established ones? Because I feel like we should do both. And I think there's value in both, but it's sort of a different value, right? So kind of let's talk about new shows versus established ones. And why should you podcast guesting on both of them? And what are the benefits?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a funny story because one of our e-commerce clients, she's from the UK, and she was on a big show, but that big show was a small show back then, like a couple of years ago. And we can still use that show in her pitch that like she was on that show, but obviously people don't know that she was on that show when they had only like 3 episodes and nobody knew about that show, but it became big, like pretty big. It's one of the biggest ones and you can always use that. So you never know. You can say that in advance, like, which show is going to be like a star and which one will stop after 6 episodes. So it's risky with smaller shows and the new shows. But obviously, if your gut feeling telling you that you like the host, great episodes, great interviews, give them the opportunity because they need expert guests as well. And everyone has to start from somewhere. And not everyone's like a superstar podcaster from the beginning. You need to give them a chance, obviously. But what we do and how we work with, and if you want to focus on and if you want to get on shows, I would advise you to get on those shows that are in the top 5 to 10% of those podcasts worldwide. Because those shows are the established ones. They're running for a while. So they didn't start yesterday. They won't stop after 6 episodes because they already done like 100 and 150 episodes. And they have ratings, they have reviews. And these are all important factors when you choose a podcast for yourself. So yeah, it's hard to decide because sometimes it's good to be on a smaller show at the right time. But obviously, you want to aim for the bigger, the established ones who have the experience and who have the followers, the audience. Yeah,
I think that's true. I agree with you. I think that one of the things about new shows really is where is your experience too? Like if you're a seasoned podcast guest and you go on somebody's new show, but they're just going to be so thankful that they got like an influencer or somebody to come on their show. And because they've only had a few shows, like they're actually really promoting their podcast. So they're going to promote it really a lot because they don't have as many.
Right.
So there's that. And 2, when you're on established shows, I've been on some established shows and because they are in the top 1 or 2%, they have a whole system. They don't even promote it. They have a team that promotes it.
Yeah.
And then they have a structure. We promote it once here, because I don't want to say they think they're doing you a favor, but the fact of the matter is they just have this very structure on how they promote. So I think that it is depends upon which one. Now, if you're not a seasoned podcast guest, well, I think that's really great when you can get on established shows, which really is about making sure that you have really good, relevant content. But if you are so new yourself, getting on new shows can be good because that's where you hone your craft. You get to practice so that you do go to established shows and they go listen to a few of them that you sound good, right? You've kind of learned a few things and you have some of them under your belt. So yes, I can see that there's value in both of them. But I do know that I hear people when they decide to be a podcast guest, they want to go straight to the top two.
To the stars.
Yes.
And celebrity podcast. Absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it was important to actually know that there is value in both of them. So what would you say are some of the most common questions people ask you all the time when they find out that this is what you do? Like, I know for me in marketing, I get asked like the same questions all the time. You can almost fill a FAQ page just frequently asked questions, right? Just by that. So what are some of the most common questions you get asked?
The most common question is, how many downloads do the shows have? And it's like, you have to tell them, it's like, we don't know that. That's the information, that's for the podcast host. And they're not going to go public with that. But I need to know. But we can't tell you that, like, it's private information, that's not public. And how do I know how many people listen to it? And it's like, yeah, we have tools, we have system in place, we have softwares, you can check it. But that's another story again. It's, they always approximate numbers. You don't have exact numbers when it comes to downloads. We don't have exact numbers when it comes to listenership. It's, you can always estimate it, but it's not, yeah, it's just a guess.
It's not a science. Not a science. And not only that, but there's so many ones now. I mean, like, it used to be that, oh yes, we were on Apple podcasts, right? You know, right, everything was about being on Apple. But now, literally on mine, like, I have a whole row of all the places that people actually like to listen to them. You would literally have to go look up all those things. That's why people have analytics, right? But again, they're not always sharing their analytics too. So that is really a good answer. So what would you say are a few of the biggest mistakes you see people make when they're doing podcast interviews? You know, I think it's kind of important to know what to do. I love that we're going to share that. And I also think sometimes it's good to know what not to do, what some of those mistakes are. Maybe some of you out there who are listening have made one or two of these mistakes, and this is a good time to tweak it. And maybe if you're relatively new, knowing that you shouldn't do these things will actually kind of help you. So wherever you are in your podcast guesting journey, knowing what mistakes that people make is actually really good to know. So what would you say are some of the biggest ones?
The biggest ones are, first, they don't do their research. So they end up on podcasts that they don't want to be on, and they have no idea what the podcast is all about. So they end up on the podcast, they get on the show, and then the host asks them, so what do you want to talk about? And they have no idea. So what's this podcast about? It's like, you have to do your research. You can't come unprepared. So it's like, that's very important. And then just small things. They're not punctual. They're not on time. And they're wasting other people's time. They don't show up at the interviews. That's a big no-no. Because, I mean, obviously, the hosts are busy people. You have people scheduled for your whole day. And that's not a good thing. And they are not engaging. So when they talk about their stuff and their books and everything, they're just not engaging. It can be boring conversation. You just have to spice it up a bit to entertain people, because they're going to listen to those interviews and they don't want to fall asleep during that conversation. So it's just try to be engaging and try to just have a normal conversation with the host. You don't have to think about how many people will listen to the conversation, but just between two people and maybe a few hundred thousand will listen to that later on. Then they're not respectful for the host. They treat the podcast as an advertisement platform for their product, for their books. And I just had like these nightmare stories from other hosts that some people got on the podcast and they asked them, okay, so can you tell me about something about this certain topic? And it's like, yeah, you can find it in my book. And can you tell me about that? And yeah, you can find it in my book. And the host literally just stopped the interview and told the guest, I'm sorry, I can't continue this conversation because this is not an ad platform for your product. You have to give value. You have to give something to the audience and share your knowledge. It's not about just buying your product and buying your book. You have to give value and you have to be respectful. And the other thing is that people don't follow up. So if you do organize podcast guesting for yourself, they don't follow up their emails or pitches, because hosts are busy people. They may don't have time to read that email that you send them, that pitch. So try to follow that email up like a couple of times. Like, we usually do like 2 or 3 times and then we stop. But that's a good example. I had a big podcast came back to me. I pitched a client last year in October and they got back to me. I followed it up in February somehow and they just got back to me in June. 2023. So, well, it happens. So
I think that's true, because I have to say you have pitched me guests before, and I know that at that time wasn't a good time for me for whatever reason. I was in the middle of my event or something, and I try to actually be really good about it. But unless if I get a pitch, and as soon as you look at it, I'm like, oh, yes, I definitely want that person. Okay, those ones are easy to get back with you and say, yes, definitely. But if I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, okay, I'm not quite seeing it, but yet I know that I've shared with you what I'm looking for. So you're pitching it based on that. Then I think, oh, wait a second. I want to look at the information that you sent me. And then I don't. But I do have to tell you, one of the things I do love about you is you do follow up and say, so Patty, can you tell me, what did you think? Like, is this a yes? Is this a no? And I think I can even remember one time that even that didn't do it. I only remember one time, but I remember one time you coming back to me and saying, okay, Patty, I don't want to keep bothering you. So just tell me yes or no. That was the one early on where I feel like, and this is kind of like really more about the podcast host. And since I have actually done this in the past out myself, but I think we're doing you a favor. I think you would rather us just tell you no than not say anything. Like, I think that for me in the beginning, when people would pitch me, I never wanted to hurt their feelings by saying no, like, you know, whatever. But now I actually realize that if they're going to keep coming back to me and whatever, it's actually the respectful, nice thing to do to just say, for whatever reason, I mean, you're not being mean, but for whatever reason, this person is not the right fit for my audience. I had to learn that though, because in the beginning, I was like, oh, I don't want to hurt their feelings and, you know, and stuff yeah. like that. Now I realize that I actually do you a bigger service by telling you that rather than doing you a disservice by letting you keep coming back to me. And really, I had already figured out it was a no.
Yeah.
No can just be no.
Absolutely. I love no's, because you don't like people ghosting you. So it's like, please just tell me if you want it or not. I mean, just let's be honest. If you don't want it, that's fine. Next one. And I forgot to tell you one more thing about this, like what not to do. They don't promote the episodes when the shows they were on. And that's a problem. And I try to tell our clients as well. And I always talk about this on podcast interviews, because please do promote that interview, because this is a content that you created together with the host. It's such an important piece of information and content that you can use in the future as many times as you want, because you create evergreen content. It's good for your SEO. It's going to stay there forever in Google. So just please take your time and do promote those episodes, because that's so important. It's a win-win situation for everyone, for you, for the host, because content creation takes time and you get free content out of your podcast interview. So why not do that? It's not rocket science.
I actually think that one of the things that could kind of go back to one of the questions we talked about in the beginning, I think sometimes people think that when the podcast comes out, we send you the information, here's the graphics. And I know, you know, because you have sent me people, like for my podcast, we give you a bunch of stuff. We don't just give you, oh, here's one thing to put on Facebook, right? You know, I mean, we give them to you in all the sizes. I mean, we provide a lot of content to make it easy for people to promote it, right?
Right.
Now, one of the things I think is interesting is sometimes I will see, and you can really tell who's established and not by this, is that sometimes what will happen is people think that when that episode comes out to get on Facebook, like one time, but then the next week, the podcast host has a different one. So they think they should never promote it again. That's just not true. Like, like for me, when I'm on a podcast, once I promote it, when it's new and fresh, then I actually put it, whether you do it by having, you're still doing it your own way in a spreadsheet or whatever, or you have an automated system or whatever. I literally, every single podcast I have ever been on, once 2 weeks has gone by, right? Then literally about every 6 to 8 weeks, it comes back up again and I promote it again, which really helps the host too, but it also helps you too. Because then people start saying, oh my gosh, look at that. You're on this other one. You're looking at this other one. So I kind of feel like the mistake I see people make to add to that would be thinking that the only time you should promote it is the first week it comes out.
No, that really doesn't even help
yourself. Never mind the host, right?
Exactly. That's so true. And yeah, I have clients and they do promote it like every 2 weeks, as you said. That's a brilliant idea, actually, to just use it. And people think that you are on podcast shows all the time. So maybe you've been on, I don't know, 20 podcasts, but you keep them, switching them up, and you putting them on Facebook, on Twitter, on Pinterest. I just heard it's a brilliant way, actually. Like, for example, use Pinterest and share your interviews there, like all these clippets, audiograms or videograms or whatever you got, like podcasts or anything, you just share it on different platforms, like different times. And it feels like that you're building your brand and everybody will find you when they search your name. It's like, wow, she's doing something right because she's everywhere. And you can use like maybe a small amount of content, but for so many things. And that's really powerful.
I think it's really just another way to repurpose, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so now let's really dive into the juicy stuff. So here's a question I think my audience wants to know. Why should they podcast guest? Because I think people, if they're not already doing it, they're thinking, oh, I know it's a strategy, but so is blogging and so is this and so is that. But why should they be a podcast guest? Like, I know for me, when I tell my clients, it's like, it has got the easiest barrier entry, right? Because it's just so easy to do it. But why do you think people should be a podcast guest? I mean, why should this be a strategy that they put in their business?
It's a new strategy. I mean, it's a fairly new one, like not like Facebook ads or Insta ads or anything, because they're running for years and Google ads. But this is like a new medium that you can use. And it's an important one. And there are advantages, of course. I mean, one of the biggest one, it's a great networking opportunity. And people don't think about it as a networking opportunity when they are on podcast, because, okay, interview is done and dusted. I don't have anything to do with the host. I just next interview. No, I mean, the relationship just starts at that point when you have that conversation with the host, and you can use that as a brilliant networking opportunity for the future, not only like with the audience or like literally with the host, because you're the person that you connect with. That's one. The other thing, that you reach a highly targeted audience. When you are in a podcast, you talk to people, your people, the people that might be your clients, your potential buyers, or the listeners are so important, and especially when you are in your niche. So that's why it's really important to find podcasts that are absolutely 100% in your niche. And then obviously you build authority with being on podcast interviews. That's really important for your business. You're building your brand by appearing on interviews. As I said before, you're just everywhere, and your brand just popping up everywhere because you're doing these interviews, and people will trust you because you tell your story, you share your knowledge, you give advice, you give information to them, not just selling your product. And they will trust you because you told your story to them and you shared so many important information about certain topics. Then obviously, if we're talking about like SEO, you're getting like lead generation, you're getting traffic to your website thanks to the show notes, because the show note is a very important part when you're doing an interview. So that's why you have to focus on giving as much information as you can to the host, like including your website, your social links, so people will find you. Because when people listen to interviews, when they're cooking or running or jogging or in the gym or driving a car, they won't have that information on hand, but then they can get home and there's the show notes, and they can find everything about you. So that's also important. You're building backlinks, and yeah, your visibility for your brand, for your business, for yourself is just amazing. So I tried that before, because I'm doing guesting for our business as well, because proof is in the pudding. So I do it myself. And when you just type your name in, plus you just add podcast interviews, and you just come up like pages after pages in Google. And that's pretty cool. So people will find you. And I got that back, and we got clients from these interviews, because they told us, like, you know, my VA listened to your interview and she got curious. She told me. So I called you and I contacted you. So And that was it. And we got connected and we worked together. So yeah, I think it has a lot of potential, especially in the future as well. Because when you do like Google ads, Insta ads, Facebook ads, you pay a lot of money, your ad will appear and then disappear. But that content that you create for podcast guesting, it's going to stay there forever. So that's why it's important to find your niche, and your message has to be super clear, because you can't really change that afterwards, because it's going to stay there. It's an evergreen content.
I love that. And I have to tell you, she just dropped a value bomb that I don't even think some of you may have caught. So I'm going to recap that value bomb for you. So this is the Marketing Media Money Show, right? So we always have to talk about marketing. So she shares a really, really great podcast strategy, but she just shared something that really is not just a podcast strategy. It also is a marketing strategy. If you didn't get it, I hope you're writing it down, because this is definitely what I would call a writer downer value bomb, which is this. She just got done telling you that how you're going to find those for yourself is to put your name plus podcast interviews and see how you come up on Google with all those, because it's good SEO. However, as a marketing strategy, because I think with my marketing hat on, you literally could look and say, well, who is your competition? Or who do you see that's on podcast hosts all the time? You could put their name plus podcast interviews and then see all the podcast interviews that they are on. And that may lead you to some good podcast interviews that if they were the right fit for, you are probably the right fit for them too. So that is a huge, huge value bomb right there. So thank you for that nugget, Noemi, because that is really a good one. And then the other thing I want to add to that from a marketing strategy, because I really, you know, we're answering the question why you should be a podcast guest. From a marketing point of view, another reason that you would use those podcast interviews as well is, for me, every single podcast that I have ever been on, right? Every single one, I have all the graphics, right? I keep them all in a Google Drive. And I also have a Google sheet in there of what the topic was that I talked about and what the link to the episode was. So every single time I hear somebody or I see it on social or something, and they're like, I'm really trying to find information about this, or I'm struggling with that. Literally, it is just so easy to say, well, I was a guest on such and such podcast. So you tag them. So now you're promoting that host is going to think you're amazing for doing that.
Right.
And then I tell them, and we talked about this on this podcast, and then I put the link to that podcast in there. Now, that helps that podcast host. It doesn't make me be hammering, oh, see how great I am. And I'm kind of throwing up all over you about how great a marketing person I am. But at the same time, that podcast host, I'm helping them solve a problem that they just got done saying they have, but I'm doing it by providing the value that I do. Not only that, but people a lot of times will say to me, how do you just have those right there and be able to do that? So that actually works great as a marketing strategy. It also works as a marketing strategy that all those ones you've been on, that is really a great way when you're talking to your email list and saying something like, I was on this podcast. Because, you know, a lot of times, like what you said, Noemi, is it's a conversation, right? We may know what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about podcast guesting. We didn't script it out. It's a conversation, right? So a lot of times, not till after the podcast is over, that when I look at the transcript and we're doing show notes, I'm like, oh yeah, I love that she said this. And oh, I love that this conversation came up in this, right? And so when I see those, that's when I'd love to be able to go back to my list and be able to say, I had such and such, and we had this conversation and this came up. And we talked about this, and here's a good strategy that you could apply that. So now I'm giving value to my list, and I'm also promoting you again, right? So there's always lots of ways to do that. And every time you do it, if you actually tag the host, literally, she's going to think you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, because everybody else is just posting on Facebook and saying, oh, yo, here, I was on this podcast, and this is what I talked about. I think it's really a good way to do it. So there's a lot of marketing strategies too. So again, to add to her, why should you be a podcast guest? Because being a podcast guest also gives you a lot of marketing strategies in order to be able to give value without having to be salesy.
Absolutely. Yeah, because you're just sharing your knowledge. You're not selling something or forcing something on someone's throat. So it's just so natural because it's just a conversation and you're sharing stories, and people love stories and stories sell. So yeah.
I have to tell you, there was this girl, I'll actually give her a shout out. Her name was Jen Liddy. And if you haven't watched that podcast, it is one of my favorites because she talks about something I had never heard of anybody talk about. She talked about sideways stories. Who ever heard of that? I don't even know what a sideways story was. And I have to tell you, man, when you watch or listen to that podcast, it is so good. And she goes so deep. Anytime anybody ever says to me, oh, I'm struggling with storytelling, I got to get better at storytelling, I'm like, oh, listen to this podcast. This girl goes so deep and you will walk away. I probably watched it like 5 or 6 times myself. It's that good. But the point is, when you have people come on, we don't just promote you then for our podcast. We're promoting you because we're serving our clients. We're serving our social people. We're promoting our people and how we do that. We can't always say, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. I can help you hire me. We also add value by saying, these are the people I know. These are the people that came on my podcast. These are the experts that I have. And look at what they can share with you, right? And so I feel like those are all good, really good reasons too. So you talked a little bit about the right podcast.
Right.
Oh, being on the right podcast right now. I have a whole strategy around how I do that too, but this isn't my show. Well, it is my show, but I'm not the guest. So that's why I wanted to bring you on, because I really feel like this is an important thing. I also feel like sometimes people are on podcasts, you know, sometimes when I take on a client and they'll say, oh, I was on these podcasts. And then I'll look at them. I'm like, why? Like, why were you on those podcasts? Right. Let's talk about one. What is the right podcast? Like, what should you be thinking about? What should be the questions you ask yourself? Like, what should they be looking for? Like you mentioned earlier, some of those analytics that you don't have access to, right, like downloads, but the demographic, how many shows, are they consistent? You know, like what are some of the things that they should be looking for? But before that, what's the right podcast? So let's kind of, could you share with people? Because I think this here is also going to be lots and lots of value here. So again, I hope you guys are taking notes, because these are going to be some writer downers. I'm absolutely sure.
That's a great question. It's really important to be super clear about who your ideal client is. Like, you need to know the demographic, the age, the gender, everything, because then you can find your niche and then you can find those podcasts that belongs to your niche. That's so important. People just don't realize that. It's like, okay, I just want to be on podcast. No, you don't, because it's not good for your business. It's not good for your reputation either if you're ending up on podcast that has nothing to do with your business. Because why you want to be on like on a fitness podcast when you are a chef or whatever? So yeah, I know that it's even that's connect. But like, I had this weird example. One of my clients, she's an e-commerce expert and she has a podcast, and she told me, it's like, all these ladies and they're doing yoga classes and they want to be on my show, but they have nothing to do with my business or with my industry, but they just don't bother to look at. So find your niche and be super clear about your ideal client, and just grab a pen and paper and try to find it out. So is it a male? Is it a female? Is it how the age group is, like, you know, it's 40 plus, 20 plus. And what do they like to do? What their hobbies, and what do they listen to? And is anything that's, it's so important. So you have to be super clear about your own clients first. Then you can figure out who your audience is, and then you can figure out where they are. So it's like a line that you have to follow, and these small steps you have to follow to find those podcasts. It seems a bit complicated, but it's just easy. You just find your people, find your niche. Yeah.
I actually sum that up in one question. Actually, not even one question, but one statement of criteria, like, that I look for when I am looking at podcasts to pitch for me. The question I ask myself is, does the host, is her audience similar to my audience?
Yeah.
And if somebody would want to hire her, what's a gap that she doesn't serve? Like, what is the something that she doesn't serve that literally, that's why she's bringing people on her show.
Right.
Like, I have a marketing media money show. People say, you have marketing people on there? I'm like, well, of course I do. Because I want somebody to give me a different perspective. My audience wants to hear like a different hack, or what's a conversation we could have that can help them. I mean, we're talking about podcasting, but yet we're still talking about marketing strategy, right? So I feel right. Like when I look at somebody's podcast, I look at who their audience is. Their audience similar to my audience? Right. And if they are, well, I want to be talking to those people. I don't want to talk to someone that may be a Reiki healer or whatever. Not to say that Reiki healers may not need marketing. Yeah. Right. But you do want to be thinking about that. But I know people who are entrepreneurs and they love listening to true crime podcasts. Right.
Yeah. Everyone loves it.
Right. There are a lot of people listen to a lot of things for a lot of reasons. But when we're talking about marketing, media, and money, and how it really pertains to your business, there really are some things. So what should they be looking at? So now that they've established that, when they're looking at podcasts, like if they're going to them and looking at, what are the things that they should look at when they are going to a podcast?
Obviously, that we talked about, like certain things about the podcast, like do they have reviews, the ratings, and the episode numbers. They are super clear. So they are there. You can see them on iTunes. You just see the show. And then you decide and you check the reviews as well. Because some of them, I would say, I would go for the ones that lay 4.7 or something and above. But sometimes when you get these whole shows that like 3 point something, like in the ratings, that's a bit strange. And it gives you an idea of what's going on. So you can check the reviews. You can check the feedback. And plus, it's important, listen to the interviews, listen to a couple of episodes to have an idea. That's the most important thing, because people tend to forget that, okay, let's get on that show. I don't know what the style of the host is. I don't know what she's doing there, but whatever, just get on the show. No, you have to listen to at least, like, I would say like 2 episodes. If you are fairly new to that show and you never heard of that podcast before, try to find 2 episodes that is for you and just try to listen to them and have an idea and feel the vibe of the host and what kind of questions they ask and how they ask it. And because there's always a system around every single episode, and every single podcast host has a different style, different vibe. So try to focus on that too. It's really important.
I think sometimes too, because I know other podcast hosts that theirs is very structured. They ask the same questions. Yeah. So like, yes, that would be really easy. Go find that out. But then there's other things. Like, I'm so thankful that my podcast has a 5 out of 5, right? 5 out of 5. But I do look at that too. But the other thing that I think I look at as well is what their rating is. Are they explicit or not? Because yes, I mean, I don't let people come on my podcast and start dropping the F-bomb, right? You know, that's just not happening.
No.
Right. And so I think it's kind of important to know that. Like, is it that type of show? So if that's not you and your people wouldn't like that, maybe you don't want to be on that type of show. So a lot of times it is just vibe. Some people are conversational. I always ask, have you been on any other ones? And I always, that's one of the things I always do before I ever let anybody on mine, is not only that, but I go listen to how they showed up on somebody else's. Like, what are the kind of the things? I also do it because I don't want to, sometimes they will give you questions, and I don't want to have a podcast that I just ask the same questions that they just got asked on another podcast too. But also because you do kind of find out, because as a podcast host, I don't want to have to drag answers out of them, right? It's a conversation, right?
No,
I don't want to ask
the
questions
and the flow.
Yes. Yeah. You know, like I want to be able to do that. So I think that is kind of really important. But I think that really kind of goes with being a host and being a guest. So I feel like for me, this show is about podcast guesting. We could do a whole nother show on podcast hosting and what it is from the other side of the mic. But how would you say people should build a relationship with the host? Because I think that is really important. Like for me, one of the things, I'll just share one of my strategies that I do as a podcast guest, is that a good podcast host knows that she shouldn't be selling herself. It's her show, but she brought a guest on. For that, I've been on other people's shows that they asked me a question, no matter what I said. This one girl, I was on her show, every single answer I said, she said, oh yeah, that's what I do with my clients. Like, I was like, why'd you even have me on the show? Right. You know, so it was kind of really, really kind of sort of weird that she did that. But I know that for me, when I'm a guest, if a podcast host is a good podcast host, she's not sharing about her unless it's adding to the conversation or giving value, but she's not talking about her or her services. So one of the things I always do is I always do my homework on the guest as well. And somewhere in that conversation, when it feels like it makes sense, I always will plug the host. Somehow, some way, I will in the conversation say something like, oh my gosh, I so love that blog you wrote about that. And oh yeah, and I saw this, but I always try to be a really good guest. And because they really aren't going to plug themselves, I always do it. And they always tell me at the end, oh, Patty, that was so nice of you to do that. And so I think that that's one of the ways that I have built a relationship with the host, is they realize that I appreciate coming on their show. And because I do appreciate it, whenever I have the chance in that interview, I am going to say something about you as well. So I do my homework about you so that I can say that too. That's just one of the things that I do. But yeah, what would you say are some of the ways that people could build a relationship with the host?
Well, I heard this quote the other day that, like, people obviously love compliments, and you can leave off a nice compliment for 2 months. So start with compliments. So when you reach out to the host, tell them what you liked about their show, what episode you like, why you like that episode for, because people love compliments. And we don't give each other enough compliments in life. So when you compliment someone, they're going to be surprised, sometimes shocked. And it's like, oh my gosh, that's so nice of you that you gave me this compliment. You like my episode and you explained why you liked it. So you actually took the time and took the effort and energy just to tell me what you liked about it. And that's a good conversation starter with a host. Because when you give someone a compliment, they're not going to tell you, it's like, okay, just go away, I don't want to talk to you. They want to talk to you because they are impressed what you did. So whenever I reach out to anyone, and that was from the beginning, I do that many times on LinkedIn. And I just send them a message and tell them what I liked about their show and about their episodes. And they love it. And we start a conversation. And from that conversation, you can be a guest there, because hosts are human too. They love compliments. They love talking to people. And you just start that and be courageous and just go out there and tell them what you liked. And people will respond to that. And that's brilliant, because you just not just getting on podcasts, but building relationships with other human. And that's so important, especially nowadays after this post-COVID era where we are just so far away from everyone and we still not so well connected with each other. Just like try to do that more often.
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to share the story about the best pitch I ever got. This is the best pitch, hands down. And I use it as an example all the time.
I take a note then.
It literally blew me away. So I had this person reach out to me on social. Like they actually posted a post that said, and I'll actually even plug her because I'm going to tell her about this. So she'll love hearing about it. But anyway, her name's Nancy Jutton. But anyway, she did this thing where she said, Patty, I love your podcast and I listened to this episode and here's why I liked it. And I liked it so much that I left you a review. But here's the thing. We all know that when somebody leaves you a review, sometimes it takes 24 to 48 hours before it shows up.
Right.
So it's not like when somebody says that, you can just go and look and read the review. What she did was she screenshot the review that she did and then put it in as the picture with the post, the review she left me. So literally when I did go to it, I couldn't see it because it hadn't shown up yet. She just did it. And she just wrote that review and then literally screenshot that review. And then literally she ended it with, Patty, I think I would make a great guest. Are you open to chat about it? Literally after she did that, I'm like, well, of course she's going to be on my show. Like, I mean, like that to me, I had never had anybody do that. I thought it was the most brilliant pitch I had ever heard, because now not only did you tell someone, but like literally that showed up in my feed. So right. Everybody else got to see it too. And I was like, man, best pitch ever, hands down, in my opinion, because now you actually really showed not just what I said, but look at what I did and I could back it up. And so I thought that was like brilliant. Like, don't you think that's the best pitch you've ever heard?
No, I love that. I love that. The other part, we do the same actually with podcast hosts, but I never tried this screenshot of the review, because that is a brilliant. And did she do it on your feed, or in your feed, on your like LinkedIn?
Wow. She literally just stuck it. It was on Facebook. She literally just stuck it on my Facebook feed.
Okay. That's so
and did
cool.
It. And I was like, oh my gosh. So everybody saw that. Everybody saw that review, right? And then I got all these people on there saying, oh my gosh, Patty, that's really great. And then get this, it gave me the opportunity then to tag the episode that she actually did. So the person whose episode that was also got promoted, right?
Oh,
so
I love that. I still
that.
Really
great. I still that idea. Nancy Jutton, J-U-E-T-T-E-N, one of my favorite episodes. And we actually talk about that on the episode about that. I actually shared that. And her podcast episode is so good. So you should actually go look. I think you should go listen to that, because it was really, really
good. I'd check it out.
And it was on podcast. So the episode was on podcast. So that was really a good one. But I have to tell you, and part of the reason I'm sharing that with you, part of the reason. So for my audience, you just get to see how I work when I connect. Is she just recently in a conversation said to me, Patty, do you know anybody that you can introduce me to who literally books podcasts? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So this is my on the air introduction to hook you guys up. And when it's over, I'll actually do an introduction for you.
Thank you so much. I so really appreciate that.
So it just kind of got to happen on the show. So that is kind of funny. So people will be able to listen to your podcast and that podcast. And I just think magic's going to happen when you two meet. Which leads me to the next question, which is, how do you stand out with your podcast pitch? So when you're talking about pitching, I just shared that story, which was definitely a standout 5-star pitch to me. So what are some ways that you think people can stand out with a podcast pitch?
The way that you just talked about it. So you tell the compliments, you tell what episode you like, you leave a review on iTunes. I didn't do that part that you do a screenshot, but that's a great idea. What we do that too. Like you leave a review and you tell the host that you left the review, and everybody likes that. I mean, hosts leave off of reviews and ratings and everything. So it's really important to them. Plus, when you do your pitch, just be like, Try to keep your pitch sweet and simple and short. Don't do like 4 pages or something like that, because I mean, hosts don't have time for that. If you have a one sheet, a one pager, that's a brilliant idea too, because that's like a compact information about everything about the guest you have to know about, like contact details, topics, bio, a nice professional headshot. Because that helps too. I mean, we are visual people. So if we like someone, we're more likely to invite them on the show. And like you have the one pager, you have your bio ready, you have your topics and very important talking points ready too. So you know what you're going to talk about on a specific show and not just ending up there and have no clue what you want to cover during a conversation. So those are very important information and you should include them in your pitch as well. So either you just put it in an email or you just add your one sheet and that will also help. Plus, don't forget about to include like at least one show that you were on and one interview you were on. So you can show the host that like what kind of guest you are and they can have just listen to it. They can check you out. I know you do it too, Patty. So it's important for the host just to have a clear idea about who you are because obviously you don't know each other. So that will help the host too. Yeah,
I think that really makes a lot of sense. You know, one of the things that's really kind of funny, but for my clients and stuff, one of the things I started doing is when I would interview them on the podcast, I would say, this is what I want for every guest. This is my hope for every guest that comes on my show. My hope is that they will walk away from my show where I really serve them. I allow them to really show their value, that my audience really sees the connection and that they really are sharing their expertise versus selling, and that I will do such a good job at it. That's my goal. That whenever they are having somebody say to them, well, what's another podcast you were on? That they will choose mine to use as the example because I did such a good job taking care of them, right? And promoting them to my audience. So if somebody says, have you been on other ones? If you're somebody like me who's been on hundreds of them, what is going to make me put yours in that thing? You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I want it always to be me. Like people say, oh, Patty, I always share the one that I did that I was on yours because I feel like I want them to know that I really served them and that they can see that they really shared value to my audience. And so I feel like if people would approach it and say, if I want to be a podcast guest, I want to show up every single time so that somebody would say, what is one that you could share? And I would want to use this one. This would showcase the kind of podcast guest I am to get me booked on more podcasts. And if they just approached every show with that, I think that they would rise just by doing that. You know what I mean? I think that
I love that. Yeah. And it's important. And it's like a whole strategy behind to picking that interview because you obviously you want to show up your best. And it's like, oh, I was really good at that show. Or the host, she had great questions. So you obviously you're going to find that one because not every podcast interview are the same. I mean, obviously you have good hosts, better hosts and less. And then you pick the one that you really like and gives real value to people. So I really love that you mentioned that because there's an art to pick the podcast that you include in your pitch.
Because I think it is important. Like I want, you know, and I have had many people say, oh, Patty, you're a great interviewer. But I think it's because really for me, I have my career. I do this to serve my audience, right? You know, that is my reason why I do it is to serve my audience. Not everybody's my client. Not everybody can hire me, but I want to make sure I serve them, whether it's with my podcast or my magazine. So for that, I really want my guests to shine and really to share their value. And that's why I spend a lot of time preparing for that podcast. I look at all the things. I look at the website. I look at that. I don't just kind of show up and say, let me just ask you some questions and I hope it's good. I'm not saying other people do it, but I'm really careful about that. So I love it. So I want to say, what would you say about follow-up? Because I think that follow-up is so important, right? Fortune's in the follow-up. It's been said for a long time, but how and when to follow up? Because I think that is really important.
I think the most important thing is just to send a thank you note or just to say thank you to the host, like after the interview or the next day. It's like, thank you. I had a pleasure to being on your show and I really enjoyed it. And that just gives like an extra, like, okay, so you mentioned that not following up, but following up your pitches. Yeah, that was another thing I mentioned because once you are on a podcast, just please say thank you to the host. And that's just a nice gesture, but it's a great way to build your relationship with the host too. So I was talking about something else, but you said like following up the pitches. Yeah, you can't really miss that. That's so important because your first email may end up in the spam folder. It can end up anywhere. And people have like loads and loads, like hundreds of emails in their folder. So they might just miss it. And it's not against you. It's not that they don't like you, but they just miss your email. So that's why it's really important to follow it up once, twice, three times, and try to do it like in a couple of days apart, obviously, because you're not going to be like just getting on their nerves, but try to make a system. And if you just use a normal Excel sheet, you just put in the time, date, when you contact them first, second time, third time, and then, yeah, it's really important to follow it up, but you have to have a system in place. So you know who you followed up and you just don't bother them with your emails all the time. And that's also important.
I think that's really great. And following up is really good. I know that some of the people that I've had on my show, you know, they've sent me cards or digital, you know, sometimes they write to me and say, Patty, can I have your address? And they want to send you a card or whatever.
Right.
One of the things that I think has been really nice, not necessary for people to do, but has been nice, is if people come on my show and they do have a book and they talk about their book, whatever. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I really love is they send me the book. I can't even tell you. My husband's like, oh, you got another book, right? You know, and I'll just go out there. I didn't even know it was coming. And they will send me their book. Sometimes they send me their book even before they're going to be on my podcast, right? They'll send it to me. And I got to tell you, I think that is really a nice thing. If I have their book, a lot of times I will take a picture with their book. And when I'm promoting their episode, I will like use that in their marketing, their effort or whatever. And if they send me like the image of their book, we'll use that to do it too. So really, honestly, whatever I can do to, I mean, we're marketing your episode, like give us as much stuff as we can so we can market you more, right? You know, so I think that makes a lot of sense. And I do think that that is really great to follow up, to let people know that you appreciate them. And everything is reciprocity, right? The more you do, the more they're going to do. And that's just how it works. So I have to tell you, this has been an absolute phenomenal podcast. I really love it. And it's so funny because it's the Marketing Media Money Show. And I ask this to every one of my guests. If you had to narrow down to one marketing, media, or money strategy, what would that strategy be?
I think the most important is when it comes to podcast guesting that can help you market your business in several ways that are different from posting on social media. So it's so unique and it's so new, and you really have to use it in the future because it is the future and it will stay here. Because, I mean, podcast guesting started like really booming during COVID, but like it's still booming and it's still going forward. So try to use it in a really wise way and build your credibility and authority by using it. It's so important. So just stick to it, be consistent and persistent by doing it, and you will reach your goals with it.
That's beautiful. I love that strategy. So audience, I have to tell you, Noemi's been very, very generous in her knowledge. She's dropped some really good bombs for us, really good value bombs here. I hope you got lots of notes. I know I'm going to go back and listen to this again. She really shared a lot of good information and strategies. And I know you're going to want to connect with her. And so I'm going to tell you, like, we're going to give you all the information. Obviously, if you're listening, look below. We're going to have all of her links. But also what I really hope you're going to take away from this is, yes, you can do all these things yourself. Yes, you could probably hire a VA or have your VA do it for you. Yes, or you could just hire somebody and let them do it. Obviously, she has shown how much she knows here and stuff. So I encourage you to connect with Noemi, find out a little bit more information. She might be the right person for you. Maybe she knows somebody. Maybe you can see that that's the next podcast you want to be on. Maybe you've got some really great tips here that are going to make the podcast that you are on, or maybe you're a host and you're going to take some of these. So I have to tell you, I always like to say, implement something, take a little something, something, feel free to share. I would love to know what your biggest takeaway was. So my inbox is always open. But in the meantime, most importantly, I really feel like you should connect with her. So Noemi, what is the best way for people to connect with you?
Please visit my website, which is podcastconnections.co, not com, but co. And you will find all the information about me and all my social links there. So you can just check it out and get in touch with me.
That is awesome. So podcastconnections in the plural.co, that's C-O, not dot com, C-O-M. So
correct.
.co. That is awesome. I'm sure everyone's going to be wanting to like kind of listen to this over and over again. So much I appreciate you so much, Noemi. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so glad to have you on the show. Really appreciate you sharing your brilliance so generously.
Thank you so much for having me. And I really enjoyed our conversation, Patty. It was an honor.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'm really grateful.
Thank you so much to my audience. Thank you for joining us on the Marketing Media Money podcast. And if you enjoyed today's episode, and I'm sure you did, please subscribe and review the podcast on your favorite listening platform. Thank you so much for joining me every single week. In the meantime, have a great week. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us today on the Marketing Media and Money podcast. To shorten your learning curve even more, make sure to grab your free copy of the Marketing Media and Money magazine at www.marketingmediamoney.com. I promise your business will thank you.